Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
NASCAR on Prime kicks off this Memorial Day weekend with one of the crown jewels of racing, the Coca-Cola 600. 600 miles, 400 laps. This is where legends are made and heroes are honored. And for the first time ever, you can stream it on Prime. See what it takes to finish first. Don't miss the Coca-Cola 600, Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern. NASCAR, it's on Prime.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Running low on gas wasn't unusual for me. I often pushed my car to its limits, confident in my ability to find a station just in time. But that day, driving through the remote stretches of a highway I wasn't familiar with, I realized I had miscalculated. The needle was dangerously close to E, and there wasn't a gas station in sight. As I continued driving, the landscape became increasingly desolate. The sun dipped below the horizon, and darkness enveloped the road. My anxiety spiked with each passing mile. The occasional car sped past, but no one seemed to notice my predicament. Finally, the inevitable happened. The car sputtered and coasted to a stop on the shoulder of the road. My phone had one bar of signal. I dialed my friend, hoping for a lifeline. "Hey, Sam. I'm out of gas on Highway 45. Can you bring me some?" I asked, trying to keep the panic out of my voice. "I'm an hour away, but I'll be there as soon as I can. Hang tight, okay?" Sam's voice was reassuring, but the thought of waiting alone in the dark was unsettling. I sat in the car, doors locked, and tried to distract myself with music. Minutes crawled by. Suddenly, I noticed a pair of headlights approaching. My relief was short-lived as the vehicle slowed and stopped behind me. A man stepped out and walked towards my car, his silhouette barely visible in the dim light. "Need some help?" he called out. His voice had a friendly tone, but something about the situation felt off. "I've got help on the way, thank you," I replied, trying to sound confident. "Are you sure?" "I can give you a ride to the nearest gas station," he insisted, stepping closer to the driver's side window. "No, really, it's fine," I said, my heart racing. The man lingered for a moment, then nodded and walked back to his car. I watched as he got in and drove off. My pulse slowly returned to normal. But the sense of unease remained, and I kept checking the rearview mirror. About half an hour later, another car approached, but this one didn't stop. It slowed down enough for me to see the same man from before, staring at me as he passed. My blood ran cold. Was he circling back to check on me? I called Sam again, urging him to hurry. Someone keeps stopping by, and it's really freaking me out. Just stay inside the car. I'm almost there, Sam reassured me. I locked the doors and tried to remain calm. 15 minutes later, the man's car appeared again. This time, he pulled up right behind me. My heart pounded in my chest as he approached my window once more. "Are you sure you don't need any help?" he asked, a strange smile on his face. "Please, leave me alone." "I've got help coming," I said, trying to keep my voice steady. The man's smile faded, and his expression darkened. He stood there, staring at me, his hand resting on the car door handle. I fumbled for my phone, ready to call the police. Just then, headlights flooded the area, and Sam's car pulled up behind the man's. The man quickly retreated to his car and sped off into the night. Sam ran over to my car and knocked on the window. "Are you okay?" he asked, worry etched on his face. "I am now. Thank you for getting here so fast," I said, my voice trembling with relief. We filled up my gas tank and drove off together, my heart finally starting to calm down. The encounter left me shaken, but grateful that I wasn't alone anymore. From that day on, I made sure to never push my luck with the gas tank again. That night, I learned the true meaning of vulnerability. Being stranded on a desolate road with a stranger lurking nearby was an experience I never wanted to repeat. Running out of gas in a suburban area might not sound like the premise for a horror story, but what happened to me that evening still haunts my dreams. My name is Sarah, and I live in a quiet suburb where nothing ever seems to go wrong. But that evening, as dusk settled over the neighborhood, I found myself stranded and vulnerable. I was driving home from a late shift at work, exhausted and eager to get home. My car's fuel gauge had been hovering near empty, but I was sure I had enough to make it to the gas station near my house. Unfortunately, I was wrong. Just a few blocks away, my car sputtered and died. I sighed, leaning my head on the steering wheel in frustration. I knew I should have filled up earlier. Grabbing my phone, I tried to call my roommate, Jenny, for help. The call went straight to voicemail. "She's probably still at her boyfriend's place," I thought. I looked around, considering my options. The gas station was only about a mile away, and the neighborhood was familiar. I decided to walk. I locked my car and started down the sidewalk. The sun had dipped below the horizon, casting long shadows and turning the sky a deep purple. Streetlights flickered on, one by one, illuminating my path and path.
NASCAR on Prime kicks off this Memorial Day weekend with one of the crown jewels of racing, the Coca-Cola 600. 600 miles, 400 laps. This is where legends are made and heroes are honored. And for the first time ever, you can stream it on Prime. See what it takes to finish first. Don't miss the Coca-Cola 600, Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern. NASCAR, it's on Prime.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Patches of yellow light. I wrapped my jacket tighter around me, the cool evening air biting at my skin. As I walked, I passed rows of houses, each one quiet and dark. Most of the families were probably inside, settling in for the night. It was a typical evening in the suburbs, peaceful and uneventful. but as I continued, I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being watched. I quickened my pace, glancing over my shoulder every few steps. My imagination was probably running wild, but the paranoia grew stronger with each passing minute. I turned a corner and saw the gas station in the distance. Relief washed over me, but it was short-lived. Ahead, under the glow of a streetlight, stood a man. He was tall and gaunt, dressed in dark clothing that blended into the shadows. He was just standing there, staring at me. I hesitated, considering turning back, but I needed to get to the gas station. Steeling myself, I continued forward, keeping my eyes on the man. As I got closer, he stepped into the light. His face was pale and angular, with deep-set eyes that seemed to pierce right through me. I tried to avoid eye contact, but I could feel his gaze following me. My heart pounded in my chest, and I walked faster, my footsteps echoing on the pavement. "Excuse me," he called out, his voice rough and raspy. I ignored him, pretending not to hear. "Hey, I need some help." I kept walking, my pace now bordering on a run. The gas station was only a few yards away. I could see the lights of the convenience store, the promise of safety. But the man started following me, his footsteps quickening to match mine. "Hey, wait," he shouted, his voice growing more insistent. "I just want to talk." I broke into a full sprint, my breath coming in short, panicked gasps. I reached the gas station, yanked open the door, and hurried inside. The clerk behind the counter looked up, startled by my abrupt entrance. "Are you okay?" he asked, concern in his eyes. "There's a man following me," I panted, pointing outside. "He's right there." The clerk glanced out the window but shook his head. "I don't see anyone." I turned, expecting to see the creepy stranger standing outside, but the street was empty. My heart still raced, and I could feel sweat trickling down my back. Was my mind playing tricks on me? Had he really been there? "I need some gas," I said, trying to steady my voice. My car ran out a few blocks away. The clerk nodded and handed me a gas can. I filled it up, constantly glancing over my shoulder, expecting the man to reappear. But the night remained eerily quiet. With the can full, I thanked the clerk and headed back outside, my nerves still on edge. I decided to take a different route back to my car, hoping to avoid any further encounters. The streets were deserted, and the silence was almost suffocating. Every little sound, rustling leaves, a distant dog barking, set my nerves on edge. As I neared my car, I saw a shadow move across the street. I froze, gripping the gas can tightly. The man stepped out from behind a tree, his eyes locking onto mine. He had been waiting for me. Panic surged through me, and I fumbled for my keys, my hands shaking. "Please, I just need help," he said, his voice softer now, almost pleading. "I won't hurt you." I didn't believe him for a second. I managed to unlock the car and quickly poured the gas into the tank, my eyes never leaving the stranger. He didn't move, just stood there, watching me. The moment I had enough gas, I jumped into the driver's seat and started the engine. I sped away, my hands gripping the wheel so tightly my knuckles turned white. I glanced in the rearview mirror, half expecting to see the man chasing after me, but he was gone. I drove straight home, my mind racing with what had just happened. When I got home, Jenny was there, lounging on the couch with her boyfriend. They looked up as I burst through the door, out of breath and wide-eyed. "Sarah, what's wrong?" Jenny asked, concern flashing across her face. I was followed, I stammered, collapsing onto the couch. This creepy guy, he was watching me. He followed me to the gas station. Jenny's boyfriend, Kevin, frowned. "Did you call the police?" I shook my head. No, I just wanted to get out of there. They insisted I call, and I did. The police took my statement, but there wasn't much they could do. They promised to patrol the area more frequently, but I knew that wouldn't help me sleep any better. For weeks, I couldn't shake the feeling of being watched. Every time I left the house, I looked over my shoulder, half expecting the stranger to be there. I changed my route to work, always making sure I had a full tank of gas. The experience left me paranoid and jumpy, and I started carrying pepper spray, just in case. Months later, I heard a rumor about a man who had been lurking around the neighborhood, scaring women. He was eventually caught, but the relief I felt was short-lived. The memory of that night still haunts me, a constant reminder to never let my guard down. I'll never forget the fear that gripped me that night and the eerie feeling of being watched. It's a feeling that stays with you long after the danger has passed. Running out of gas on a desolate country road late at night is the kind of thing that only happens in horror movies, right? That's what I used to think until it happened to me. It was supposed to be a simple drive to visit an old friend in a neighboring town. I had driven this route dozens of times, but I never imagined it could become the most terrifying night of my life. The road was empty, surrounded by thick woods on both sides. The full moon provided just enough light to see the road ahead, casting eerie shadows that danced with the sway of the trees. I was halfway there when my car began to sputter. I glanced at the fuel gauge in disbelief. It was on empty. Panic started to set in as the engine cut out completely, leaving me stranded in the middle of nowhere. I tried to call for help, but my phone displayed no signal. Frustration and anxiety began to build. I was alone, with no way to call for assistance. I decided to stay in the car, hoping a passing vehicle might come along, but hours passed with no sign of life. As the night grew darker, I heard strange noises coming from the woods. It started with the occasional rustling of leaves, which I tried to dismiss as the wind. But the sounds grew louder and more distinct, twigs snapping, footsteps crunching on the ground. My heart pounded in my chest as I peered into the darkness, trying to see what was out there. Suddenly, I spotted a faint light in the distance. Relief washed over me, thinking it might be another vehicle or a house. I grabbed my flashlight and decided to investigate, hoping to find help. As I walked towards the light, the noises in the woods seemed to follow me, growing louder and more frequent. The air was thick with an unexplainable sense of dread. The light led me to an old, abandoned cabin. It looked like it hadn't been inhabited for years, yet the light inside was undeniable. I approached cautiously, the hair on the back of my neck standing on end. I peered through a broken window and saw that the light was coming from a lantern on a table. The cabin appeared empty, but something felt off. I decided to enter, hoping to find a phone or some means of communication. The door creaked loudly as I pushed it open, the sound echoing through the silence. Inside, the cabin was a mess, dust-covered furniture, cobwebs in every corner, and a thick layer of grime on the windows. But what unsettled me the most were the fresh footprints on the dusty floor, leading to the table where the lantern sat. My mind raced with questions. Who had been here? Why was the lantern lit? I felt a presence behind me and spun around, but there was nothing there. The feeling of being watched intensified, and I knew I had to leave. As I turned to go, I heard a whisper, so faint I almost thought I imagined it. Don't leave. I bolted out of the cabin, running as fast as I could back to my car. The noises in the woods seemed to chase me, growing louder with every step. I reached my car, jumped inside, and locked the doors, my breath coming in ragged gasps. I tried the ignition out of sheer desperation, and to my shock, the engine roared to life. I sped down the road, not daring to look back. Finally, my phone signal returned, and I called for help. As I waited for the tow truck, I couldn't shake the feeling that I had narrowly escaped something sinister. The tow truck driver arrived, and I told him about the cabin. He looked at me with a mix of concern and disbelief. "There's no cabin out there," he said. "That area's been deserted for years." The hairs on my arms stood up as I realized what I had encountered. I had no explanation for the night's events, but one thing was clear: I would never drive that road again, and I would always make sure my tank was full. This experience taught me the importance of preparedness and the reality that sometimes horror movies can come true. Running out of gas on a deserted highway through the desert was the last thing I expected on my cross-country trip. My name is Alex, and I was driving to visit my parents in California from New Mexico. I had meticulously planned every aspect of the journey, but one miscalculation led me to one of the most terrifying experiences of my life. The sun was setting, casting an orange glow over the endless expanse of sand and scrub. The air was still warm, even as the evening approached. I was confident I had enough fuel to make it to the next gas station, but as I drove further into the desert, my fuel gauge dropped alarmingly fast. I pulled out my phone to check for the nearest station, only to realize there was no signal. I decided to keep driving, hoping the next station would appear soon. But as the last sliver of sunlight disappeared below the horizon, my car began to sputter. The engine coughed and died, leaving me stranded in the middle of nowhere. The silence was deafening, broken only by the occasional gust of wind. I stepped out of the car, the cool desert air a stark contrast to the day's heat. The vastness of the desert was both awe-inspiring and terrifying. I looked around, hoping to see any sign of life or a distant light, but there was nothing. Just darkness and the eerie howl of the wind. I decided to stay in the car, hoping someone would pass by. Hours went by, and the night grew colder. I wrapped myself in a blanket from the back seat and tried to sleep, but every little sound jolted me awake. At one point, I heard what sounded like footsteps crunching on the gravel. I sat up, heart pounding, and shined my flashlight out the window. Nothing. The feeling of being watched was overwhelming. I tried to convince myself it was just my imagination, but the anxiety gnawed at me. I turned on the radio to distract myself, but all I got was static. As I fiddled with the dial, a voice suddenly broke through the white noise, a faint, garbled message that sent chills down my spine. "Help, please, anyone there?" I frantically adjusted the dial, trying to get a clearer signal, but it faded back into static. My hands were shaking, and I felt a lump in my throat. Was it another stranded traveler? Or was my mind playing tricks on me? As the hours dragged on, I mustered the courage to venture out of the car. I needed to find help, or at least see if there was a better spot to get a signal. I grabbed my flashlight and started walking along the road, my footsteps echoing in the silence. The moon provided some light, but the shadows it cast made everything look surreal and menacing. Every rustle of the bushes, every distant howl of a coyote made my heart race. I kept walking, glancing back at my car every few minutes to make sure it was still in sight. After what felt like an eternity, I saw a faint light in the distance. My heart leapt with hope. I quickened my pace, the light growing brighter as I approached. It was a small gas station, its neon sign flickering in the darkness. Relief washed over me as I realized I wasn't alone. But as I got closer, something felt off. The gas station looked old and abandoned, the windows boarded up and the paint peeling. The light was coming from a single flickering bulb above the entrance. I hesitated, a sense of dread creeping in. I called out, "Hello? Is anyone there?" No response. I pushed open the door, which creaked loudly, the sound echoing in the empty space. Inside, the air was thick with dust, and the shelves were bare. The light bulb above me flickered ominously. I walked towards the counter, hoping to find a phone or a radio. As I reached out to touch the dusty surface, I heard a noise behind me. I turned around, flashlight shaking in my hand, and saw a figure standing in the doorway. My heart stopped. Who are you? I stammered, my voice barely above a whisper. The figure stepped into the light, revealing an old man with a weathered face and hollow eyes. His clothes were tattered, and he looked like he hadn't seen another person in years. "You shouldn't be here," he said in a raspy voice. "It's not safe." I ran out of gas. "I need help," I replied, trying to keep my voice steady. The old man shook his head. "There's nothing here for you. Leave now, before it's too late." Before I could respond, he turned and disappeared into the darkness. Panic set in. I ran out of the gas station, my mind racing. I needed to get back to my car and find a way out of this nightmare. As I sprinted down the road, the desert seemed to come alive with shadows and whispers. I glanced back and saw the old man standing by the gas station, watching me. His eyes seemed to glow in the darkness, and I knew I had to keep running. I reached my car, out of breath and trembling. I jumped inside and locked the doors, praying for the engine to start. To my astonishment, it roared to life. I didn't question it. I floored the gas pedal and sped down the road, not daring to look back. When I finally reached a well-lit gas station, I collapsed in relief. The attendant gave me a strange look as I stumbled out of the car, but I didn't care. I filled up the tank and drove straight to my parents' house, vowing never to take that route again. To this day, I can't explain what happened that night. Was it a hallucination brought on by fear and exhaustion? Or did I encounter something truly otherworldly? All I know is that I'll never forget the old man's warning, and I'll always make sure my tank is full before heading into the desert.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 16th through the 26th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.